Okay, we're in Appomattox at the registrar's office with the electoral board, and it's Thursday, July 29th, and I'm here with the general registrar.
Hello, I'm Patricia Morton.
And I'm Chuck Haney. My real name is Charles, but I go by Chuck.
My name is Frank Pointer. I'm the chairman.
Tennille Beagle, secretary.
Olivia Shores, I'm student observer.
I'm Daylen Oliver. I'm also a student observer.
And I'm Diana Shores. I want to thank you all for being here today. So we're going to start. We have 30 questions total, and I'll leave you with a copy of the questions that we've asked. And as you know, all this information will be available to the public on our website in order to have greater transparency and for our students to also be able to recap what they're learning in the trainings that we're providing across the state. Any of you can answer this question, and in fact, we could just go around the room, but what is your biggest concern about the upcoming election? That's a very broad and open-ended. What's your biggest concern? And we're talking about the November election.
CDC guidelines, COVID. Mm-hmm. That's going to change. Mm-hmm. We don't know. Our concern is people do not won't believe the science. I come from a science background, so I do understand and believe the science.
So the guidelines in reference to having staff or having PPE?
We have PPE. We have the staff. We can do it. We just don't know yet what we're going to have to do.
Well, and also safety because of the changing mask requirements and whether those are really what we should be looking for.
Yeah.
As I'm sure you know, last November we were not able to require people to wear masks. So I assume that will be the same this time.
Mm-hmm.
But it may be needed for some individuals and we can't enforce it. So
mm-hmm.
We asked the officers of election to wear masks.
Mm-hmm.
But we couldn't, of course, the general public could. And about half of them did. Fortunately, we had no reported cases of COVID mm-hmm. from the election.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a senior population, and senior population is vulnerable to the COVID area, so we've had a lot of people who had to drop out. We had to recruit a lot more people for the most recent elections.
All right. So you had a change in staffing at the polls because of that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We're training a lot of new people.
Mm-hmm.
And being the presidential election, we had to staff it heavier, and we had to have it heavier because we had people cleaning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We, of course, were criticized by the county administration for having too many officers of election, but we just let that rule off.
Mm-hmm. Any other additions to that?
The rules and the guidelines, the laws, everything changes right up to the last minute. I mean, forms, everything has changed, so it's very hard to... Sometimes we're doing things and we have to undo it and redo it because it changed right at the last minute. So that's a big concern.
What she's getting at is that we get guidance from the Department of Elections. Mm-hmm. I will receive it. And it usually would come in about 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. I'm getting ready to go to bed. It's a guidance that's got to change immediately the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that every 3 or 4 days.
Well,
all leading up to the election, it was just. My wife says, "Don't turn your phone on." I said, "Well, I've got to know this stuff.
Yes.
I got to lay awake and figure out how to handle it."
Right.
Well,
she knows exactly what I'm talking. She had the same thing.
For a small locality, that would be difficult. But I'm thinking about what I learned in other localities where you have 1,300 workers
right.
and,
oh, yeah.
and 91 precincts. How much more difficult?
Yeah.
That
could
to
be. Any other additions about concerns? I think that's a huge concern.
And Fairfax County has 250 precincts.
Yes, mm-hmm. They're very large. So, but in general, that's your biggest concern?
I think so.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Do you feel like, and this is just a follow-up to that, do you feel like you have the resources, equipment, personnel, and training needed to run an effective election in November?
We will have because we're going to train. We train very heavily before the election.
As far as resources and equipment, do you feel equipped with the resources?
We are equipped with enough elections, actual voting machines and things like that. We did put in a request to remodel for the early voting, which was turned down.
Remodel this office?
This office, because as you saw, we have a very small front office.
And when you're talking about the remodel, you're talking about creating a place for the drop box in particular, or for in-person absentee?
For in-person absentee, what we've come to call early voting.
Which was removing a wall. That's what we asked for.
Yeah, that was turned down.
And so you felt like removing the wall and making modifications would offer what, greater privacy in the voting?
No, allowing us to handle more voters at once.
Okay.
So in November, 50% of our voters either voted by mail or voted in this office. And so that little front office that you just saw had 3,850 voters throughout the 45 days.
And they were standing in that office.
Standing outside many times.
And as you saw, there's no roof outside, so they had no shelter from rain or sun. Wow. So it was a zoo in here.
Yeah, and at the same time, we were trying to get work done.
But we were given an offer to relocate.
Okay.
But we'd have to relocate everything. And in order to do that and get our jobs done at the same time was too much. It's like it couldn't have happened. So then it just kind of got dropped.
Because then you would have had to have the personnel to move the entire office, reorganize the office, while also managing voters.
And there was actually less square footage than we have here. And it would cost more for them to move as to where we had to move, because then they're going to have to
take down the wall.
Right, absolutely.
Because knowing what they're going to have to do, all that, they're going to have to move our server over there.
Right.
Our secure server.
I've got you.
Across town.
Oh, how frustrating. Yeah. Okay, that's a pretty big thing.
It is very big.
But as far as training from the State Board of Elections, you feel equipped there. PPE, you feel equipped there. You feel like your voting machine equipment is adequate.
We got great voting machines.
So basically the space during these challenging times.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yes.
Wow. We won't bring up the porta potties.
But if you have people standing outside...
You do have to have places for them to use the restroom.
He's talking about three of our precincts do not have running water.
Or restrooms?
No.
Yes, right. No restrooms.
Correct. No restrooms. Yeah.
So what do the election workers have to leave?
They have to go up, step outside to go to a porta potty.
We rent porta potties for the three places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're the only ones that we know of anymore who have to do that. No,
Bath County, we did an informal survey at one of our training meetings in Richmond a couple of years ago, and it was a plenary session, so everybody was there. It was a couple, 300 people. Asked, how many of you here, how many jurisdictions have outside porta potties? Only one other raised their hand. That was Bath County.
How many precincts do you all have?
We have nine, plus the cap.
Are they located at firehouses and schools?
No. Well, one's at a firehouse auxiliary building. We aren't currently using schools. There's one in a church, and the three that don't have running water are county-owned buildings that were set up just for voting. Why they were built that way, I don't know.
And are there not other churches or civic buildings available?
Well, since redistricting is happening next year, we're going to try to fix this.
Yeah. Well,
sweep in a church location.
The churches were unable to support us either because they didn't need crowds coming into their churches.
Yeah, we tried to
move
last year.
So was that last year being a new problem for you all?
Yes.
Yeah, let me.
Okay.
No. The three buildings with no running water has been a problem for 20 years.
But a little more history about last year. One of them we knew was too small. We could not meet CDC guidelines for it. And it's the precinct I vote in. And it's at one of our trash transfer sites, a small center block building. So we looked at that, and the three of us concluded that we could not safely conduct an election there. So we found a place that was still within the precinct, Leaning for the World. You've heard of them, I'm sure.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they were glad to have us. They had a 1,200 square foot. Mm-hmm. They opened up to it.
Not to mention, though, the voter confusion when you think you vote at this location, mm-hmm. but you vote at a different location, and then
a temporary move is confusing. Yes.
Then you have to figure out how to notify people.
We have to mail them.
We mailed them all letters individually. But we got sued.
But still, you know, people show up to the...
Yeah. We got approved by the state board immediately because it was an emergency thing, and we got sued for it. they lost a suit, the young lady. So it wasn't fair what we did. We moved it so she couldn't walk to it. She voted in person here, but
yeah. And then you deal with things like people. We had an issue that people in the town said that what the ad that we put in the paper was not true. That we really that it was like a scam, like to send people to a wrong location. So I don't know if that's a small town.
Public distrust about the ad.
Yes. And so then they went to the old place and they said, oh well, we were told that this was not true. It was a big mess, so we had to deal with that also.
They could not.
Like y'all had fun last year.
Yeah.
I had VDOT set up one of those big traffic signs.
Uh huh.
The digital sign. The day before.
Oh, right. The little digital billboard.
The one that runs on solar, that they set up at the old place the day before, saying where it was relocated to. Right. So, and that was at the entrance, so they could not possibly have missed it.
I guess we made that
You'd
up.
Had to hit it. You had to drive around to get in.
Well, yeah. I think that's why we need projects like the one that we have, because obviously there's public distrust.
Right. Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, about elections. And so, so people don't feel confident. Yeah. So that's hopefully what projects like this will address.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, number 5. The county electoral board is supposed to consist of 2 Democrats and a Republican under a Democrat governor. But in some areas, boards have had trouble filling willing Republicans and have appointed an independent or vice versa in mm-hmm. other years. What is the situation in this county? You have 2 Democrats and a Republican, or 2 Democrats and an independent, or 3 Democrats?
We have 2 Democrats and a Republican. Okay. But we don't operate that way here.
Right. We're just from a legal standpoint. It's a legal question. Because mm-hmm. some localities do have difficulty getting appointments from one or the other, especially in rural areas.
In fact, we had the secretary resign last year in July. We had, since she came on, not knowing much anything going on, but she got up to speed and amazing.
Aren't you having so much fun?
Yeah.
What a year to learn.
She just slipped in and seamlessly. She's one of those kind of people says, I'll do this, and then I don't worry about it. I know it's going to get done.
Thank you, Greg.
That's so nice. It's nice.
And she did a lot of work.
Well, we're all Americans, and our job is to make sure that we run the election.
That's right.
Regardless of what our thoughts and feelings are.
We get paid a stipend. It's not a salary.
Absolutely. So. I understand. Number 6, what about precinct staff? Are you able to have an equal number of Democrats and Republicans? We're talking about parity in the polling places.
Chuck, you want to address that?
Well, we work very hard on that. And in every case, the precinct chief and the assistant chief are of separate parties, and they're the ones who are making a lot of the policy decisions.
So you do ensure that the chief and the assistant chief are opposite parties?
Yes.
That's good.
And then others, we do our best.
As you probably know, Appomattox is a very heavy Republican county. So sometimes we have to have officers of election declare themselves as independents. And our Board of Supervisors occasionally looks at that and reviews the balance as well.
Yeah.
As far as, I think that's an issue in localities in general. You might have a heavy blue
mm-hmm.
Locality that's got that same issue,
right.
Just opposite.
That's right.
What do you all do, if anything, some do, some don't, to go out and recruit Democrats? Do you put ads in the paper? Do you go to Democrat meetings and try to recruit a Democrat to participate? Like, what kind of steps do you all take?
Mostly been word of mouth.
Yeah.
Our chiefs do a lot of recruiting themselves
mm-hmm.
and, hearing of friends of friends that might be interested. We did contact last fall, didn't come to anything, but I did contact when one of the businesses in Lynchburg, it was one of the stores, I think it was Old Navy, was saying they were helping, encouraging their workers to be officers of election. And mm-hmm. so I tried that, didn't come about, but we do get names from the party chairs, mm-hmm. from both party chairs of people they would mm-hmm. like to, that are interested as well. So.
Well, we did not have any trouble. We thought we were going to. At one point, there was just the 2 of us on the board, so until the Republicans nominated her, or I think, I don't know how that process went, but she showed up.
Well, they nominate you to the judge, and the judge approves
No, but I mean, getting to the judge.
Oh, right.
So we were,
you just write a letter.
We were daily in contact with the clerk of the court, and she hadn't had a name yet, But we had to divide his duties up.
I know y'all are glad she came on board.
He took on the secretarial stuff, and I took on the officer's election, along with all other stuff. I sat there. I didn't have internet at home, so I brought my. We did not have a good computer system here then. We do now. Mm-hmm. The county did not fund any of that stuff. All they fussed about the wonderful stuff we got. They go, you got a nicer desk than we have. The county ministers. Yeah, but I got a grant for that.
Yeah.
But anyway, what I was saying is, it was a juggling act. People dropping out and more people coming in, and we had even the training, some of them show up and ask, we're going to have to wear a mask? And I said, yeah, so they left. Yeah. But we ended up with enough.
Mm-hmm. So you required them to wear a mask?
Yes.
It was challenging with the COVID happening.
It was. And
it didn't affect me.
I was usually Monday night, late Monday night becomes a dreading phone calls, doesn't it?
Yeah, I understand.
Because they're dropping out, trying to plug more people in.
Yeah.
It's juggling night by 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock Tuesday morning. We've got it pretty well sorted out.
Yeah.
Right.
But we go a long time without sleep.
I'm sure. So is the County Board of Elections engaged in your work year round?
Oh, absolutely.
So your answer is yes.
Someone from the board is in here, I would say, probably 4 to 5 times a week. They pop in just to see if I need anything. They're wonderful, absolutely wonderful.
We have a standing board meeting every month, but we have meetings in between. Like we're going to have one when we're through here. So.
Okay, and all of your meetings are advertised. Your minutes are posted on your website.
Right. Except for the closed meetings.
This afternoon will be a closed meeting. We're going to have part of a closed meeting on Tuesday, our standing meeting. Unfortunately, when you could deal with personnel stuff, you have to, or safety issues.
But your closed meetings are also advertised, but people know that it's a closed meeting.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
It's not FOIA.
Because they have, they're not subject to FOIA, and these meetings often have to be a called meeting. If something's happened, we have to meet real quick.
But you keep minutes of the closed meeting.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
She does.
We do.
Great. Okay. Olivia is going to be asking you questions 8 through 14, which are about the voter rolls.
Okay. When was the last audit of the voter file in your county?
Define audit. Do you know what they're asking about?
It just says...
So that audit is when they're auditing the roll, where they're taking the information they're getting from the State Board of Elections on people who died, people who moved, making sure that everything's correct and up to date according to your records.
Okay. So that's I'll answer for what I do, which is an ongoing process, which is that I'm sure you know the software term VERIS, which is Virginia's Voter Registration System. It's VERIS. I forget exactly what it spelled out to. And they send us what are called death records. They send us NCOA,
so
National
it's daily
Changes.
You're working
it's
on
daily.
This weekly.
Yeah, it's daily.
We had someone say once a year, and we were like,
oh my goodness. Well, yeah. See, but that's why I said define audit.
Well, because it purges the things that.
It goes in your hopper.
Right.
And you may not be every day, but maybe a whole bunch today and there'll be none tomorrow.
You don't need an election.
But you're still
going
working
through
on
that.
It consistently.
Yes.
We had
exactly.
Some people that were like, I don't know.
Yeah.
That would make it so hard as you got
Oh, goodness.
Up.
Well,
I mean,
that's in the code.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, we're supposed to process any registration changes within 5 days, and I recently learned if I fall behind that, which I did recently because I have one employee who's injured and not in much, that I have to notify the Department of Elections and obviously notify them as well.
I wonder if this other registrar knew he's supposed to be doing that because he's...
It might have been how we defined audit.
Yes.
He said he did it once a year. That could have been his purge, where he's purging people from the voter files. So we'd have to go back to him and say, hey, specifically, do you work on this every day?
And what is the context of the words that you're using, basically.
Correct.
Because they can mean a lot of different
That's
to
right.
different people.
Yeah. So.
The audit, more accurately, that you're probably asking about, you can explain, go ahead and explain to them about the risk limit auditing audit.
Well, that's totally different. That's not for registration. Are you familiar with the risk limiting audit process?
No.
Do you mind if I digress a
minute? No, this
okay.
is learning for all of us.
That's great. So Virginia started this on a very small, few counties basis, I believe in 2019. And in 2020, they expanded it. And what it is they hire a third-party consulting group, who I apologize, their name escapes me, and they do something called a risk-limiting audit to check the accuracy of the election statewide. And the way it works is they give us random numbers with this enormous seed random number generators, and they gave us random numbers for box 3, ballot 200, box 1, precinct Vera, ballot 10. And so two of us observed, and two of these electoral board people pulled out the correct ballot, you know, totally random. And then we hand counted those few ballots. We're a small county, so we only did 5. And the vote had gone, they really were just checking president and vice president, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And the vote had gone in Appomattox about 76%, I believe, for Trump, and 20, maybe 74%. It was in the 75-25 sort of range for Trump and Biden. And so they're going along checking these ballots, and they get Trump. And we have one more to check, and we're getting a little nervous. Biden.
Yeah.
Came back. So it matched within,
their algorithm.
Within the odds for the county overall, and it's completely pulling random ballots. It's a fascinating process, and some of the general registrars who didn't get to do it were disappointed they didn't get to do it.
Wow, that's awesome.
But
do you know how many registrars did that?
It was a pretty high percentage.
It was about
all of
3/4,
them.
And the audit didn't bear out any discrepancy.
Yeah.
Machine
yeah.
count. What the
That's
machine
awesome.
Count is what the audit showed.
I'm glad y'all got to participate in that.
Yes,
that sounds
it was
fun.
It was very exciting. And they're going to move it around. So the ones that didn't get to participate last year will get to this year.
So I don't care what anybody says, this state had no fraud. There's no way you can do it in this county. I can guarantee you that. Not here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not here to say yay or nay on any of those things.
Okay.
Does the health department send a list of deceased people to your office every month so that they can be removed from the voter rolls?
They do not. And that is one of my current pet peeves. And one of our party, I think she's vice chairman or something, pet peeves, and she and I have been talking because we do get death records through my software,
uh-huh.
but we don't get any kind of listing. And I've talked to the health department's right upstairs. I've talked to them twice.
So you're getting it through the State Board of Elections, but
yes,
not
but
through...
not locally. And the code says locally as well.
It does.
Yeah, and they're
and
not
trust
doing
me,
that.
You're not the only one.
That's correct.
I would say 100% of the people I've talked to do not get it locally.
Wow.
That's right.
I have one registrar who says, no, this is rural. He looks at the obituaries himself.
Yeah, he said he goes
he clips.
To...
Oh, well, we were doing that. So if you want to hear more detail.
But in a large locality,
you can't do that.
You can't do that in somewhere like Henrico where you have 100 people named John Brown.
Right, exactly.
You delete the wrong John Brown, you're in trouble.
So I've just been in this job a year, and here's how I was taught, which is that you could take the obituary, you'd check the birth date, you'd make sure you had the right voter as best you can figure out, and you would cancel them in the software. I got my wrist slapped for that this spring when I talked to someone at the Department of Elections for doing that. He said, no, you can't do that. You can't do that without vital records. I have since found out that a whole bunch of GRs do what I was doing.
Yeah, they do.
Or take it another step and call the funeral home and check the last 4 of the Social Security number.
Yeah, but
so they're
time
not
to do
the
that.
State Board of Elections is not going to like the outcome of our questions then because
they're not.
A lot of rural counties are doing that.
Oh yeah, so I bumped it to my liaison to say we need to get our act together statewide.
So you've requested from the health department to send these once a month. There's just a communications breakdown there.
Well, they said you can't have it. You're not family.
Not allowed to have
it. Even though you've showed them where in the statute it says
I haven't
that
taken it that far because I just learned it was actually in the law.
It is.
So
that's why we asked the question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. So,
I'd love to know, if you don't mind following up with me, how that goes, because
our best hope is that everyone follows it.
Yes.
To the letter of the law, and locally, it would allow you more quickly, because we have elections. You know, you have I guess we don't have May elections anymore, or won't, but
yeah.
You've got a primary in June, and then you have a November election. A lot of people could die between those
Absolutely.
Two elections, and you want to make sure that you're doing it quickly, and it seems more efficient for you to get the local information than wait for the state board.
And at least cross-check it.
Yeah.
I mean, chances are a lot of them would have been done already, but obviously I don't mind. I want my records as clean as I can get them.
Right. And since elections are supposed to be run by the localities, it makes more sense that you're getting locality information. Okay. Well, I'm glad you're working on that. Okay, go ahead.
When was the last time the clerk of court submitted a list of individuals who declined to serve on jury duty on the basis of being a non-citizen?
I have not seen one in a year.
In a year? So you did have
one? I've only been here a year.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
I don't know why we would get that. It was jury duty.
Well, probably not here in Appomattox, but in other localities, you might get someone who applied for a driver's license mistakenly, because at DMV, you could mistakenly think that you're eligible to register to vote, and it's all because they ask, what you want to register to vote? Someone could say yes, and they could be a non-citizen, and then they push the buttons, and then you get a notification that they are registered to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Well, registered voters are the ones who get called for jury duty. Well, in some instances, someone who knows that they're, oops, I'm not supposed to be doing this, would notify the clerk that I can't serve on jury duty because I'm not a citizen. You would be notified, oops, you got a mistake on your voter rolls. Probably not happening here in Appomattox, but in Northern Virginia, where there's lots of non-citizens, it could be likely that by mistake, we're not saying anyone intentionally would break the law, but by mistake, and this does happen where clerks are notified, I can't be a juror because I'm not a citizen. Well, you're on the voter rolls. Oops, we got to take that person off.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we're just curious when we're asking. We just want to know how many localities have this issue or had this issue. And is there an honor system being followed? I think everybody wants to do the right thing. I want to assume that all people want to do the right thing.
You'd be surprised when people complain about election that says, are you registered to vote? And they say no. I said, why? Because I don't want to do jury duty. I said, why are you even on this planet?
I don't want to jump ahead too much, but do you have a question about adjudications also?
You're talking about felons?
No.
Or
mental incapacity?
I don't think we do.
No, but if you have a learning moment for us, we'd love to listen.
So I do monthly get a report, often blank, from the clerk of the court that lists people who have been judged mentally incapacitated and therefore need to be canceled.
So you've got, how often do you get those?
Once a month. And very often it's empty.
And once someone's canceled, can they ever come back and
only if they're judged to be mentally capable again.
That goes back to the courts.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So they are attempting to notify you if there was any.
That's right. So okay. I have faith that Janet Hicks, who does her job very well, our clerk of the courts, would notify me if this other one came
right.
up.
Right. Absolutely. Again, maybe in Appomattox it's not a problem in a small rural area, but somewhere like Northern Virginia, where we have a lot of individuals from around the world that live outside of the D.C. area, it could become a problem, not on purpose, but just through happenstance.
And are you aware of that the DMV flipped the voter registration flag last year?
Yes.
So you know what that means?
Dalen may not, so.
Okay. The voter, the driver, when they went to the DMV, used to have to opt in and say, yes, please register me to vote. Mm-hmm. And DMV flipped that last year, so they have to opt out. So people are getting registered that don't actually want to be registered. Occasionally they'll cancel or something.
And again, if you have someone who's a non-citizen getting a driver's license, might not even know.
It would be it's very easy for that to happen.
That has not been a real seamless.
So what? This is just an opinion question. Just your opinion. Do you think that motor voter is a bad idea, a bad public policy idea?
I think it's great.
You think it's good?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the concept's great. I think the execution of it's been a problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A few years ago, my wife went renew her driver's license. I don't know, it was confusing to her. I guess they checked on her and she needed to register vote, so she got a second registration.
Huh, interesting.
So now she's going to vote twice.
Yeah, definitely has some hiccups, I'm sure. Okay, go ahead, Olivia, with number 11.
When was the last time you had access to the national change of address list or any other change of address list?
We're working on it now. So the NCOA is twice a year, I believe, because we did it in December and we're doing it now. And then the NVRA, which is the National Voting Rights Act, they put out a list as well. And that is timed differently. I'm trying to think if that was in the spring.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you confident that the voter file is accurate and up to date?
No. Honestly, I know there's too many glitches. I know there's people, there was a point in time, the other registrars tell me, where we were not getting any death notices at all. Mm-hmm. And therefore, there are people that have been dead for 15 years that are probably still on my records that I just don't know. Mm-hmm. So no, I don't ever expect to have 100% accuracy. We do the best we can. Yeah. I like to ask a lot of questions, so I really bug my liaison a lot to elect.
That's the way you learn, asking questions.
Mm-hmm. How many households in your locality have more than 7 individuals registered to the same address?
Knowing that assisted living facilities have multiple people registered to vote at one address.
I have no idea, actually, on that. I'm trying to think if I've ever seen a report where I can even get that. We have something called Street File, which is where we assign precincts to streets, or streets to precincts, I guess. And you can go and see the number of people that way, but you have to look up a particular address. Whether I can actually run a report that would give me something like that, very interesting.
One registrar was able to give it to us. I don't know how he did it, but
Can you tell me what county?
It was Mecklenburg. Okay. He followed up the next day. He said, I have to run a report, and I can email you next day.
So there probably is a report.
Yeah.
It's a real dynamic situation with people.
Well, in his situation, it was assisted living, and in Henrico, we know it's assisted living, because in an assisted living facility, you could have 25 people living in the same house.
Right.
All with different last names.
Well, he did say that one time there was a discrepancy where it was like 12 people registered to the same house, and what had happened is it was like people that moved or something like that.
And they didn't re-register.
They didn't re-register, mm-hmm. And then those people that were already living there, you know, so that was fixed.
Yeah, Mecklenburg County is about the same size as our county. Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm.
Transient workers, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah, he actually caught it after we talked to him, and he pulled his list, and he was like, oh, I'm going to get to the bottom of this, and he did. He said he figured out it was a rental type thing where there was a lot of turnover.
So you're asking about more than 7?
More than 7.
I don't actually think I've seen even 7. I've
and
seen
of course
4
there
and
could
5.
Be households where you have 2 parents and you have adult grown children that live there, and maybe
yeah, we have a lot of multi-generational households with grandparents.
Yeah, I noticed going down our road, there's a couple of houses, but the house is not big enough to have to support the amount of cars parked out front, so
yes.
You wonder what's going on.
During registration, how do you verify that voters are citizens?
That they're citizens during registration. We are not required to do that. It is a felony if they fill out the form and lie about that. And we are not required to see any ID when they register, just when they vote. So I generally have no way of proving someone's a citizen.
I know you're doing a process from that, so are we. It doesn't make any sense, but
yeah.
There's a lot. And also in the code, there's also conflicts from one part of the code to the other.
Exactly.
I think it was interesting how they do it at the DMV, because one time she was helping a family from Sudan who came over here under asylum,
mm-hmm.
Because they were being persecuted in their country, mm-hmm. And they came over here and we went to get them a driver's license, and we had already said they're not citizens, they barely speak English, and the woman said, do you want to sign up to vote, and Mom's like, knowing that we just said that right. they're not citizens,
right.
but she had to ask. I have to ask, and Mom's like, what?
She's like, well, just click no.
Well, you'll get free meals for a couple of years that way.
Yeah. Well, he clicked no, but he didn't understand, and if that's what I'm saying, I know personally how someone could not understand what the question is.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, I'm going to sign up for that. Yeah.
Very confusing. Well, that's how my wife got into registered twice.
Yes. I could see how that could happen.
Yeah. Well, and then if you're from another country and you think they're asking, well, if it's illegal, they wouldn't ask, so I guess I'll sign up and go vote, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It would be confusing right. to them.
They would know our laws.
They don't know what our laws are.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Okay, number 15. There are three types of voting machines used in Virginia. Which machines do you use?
We use the ES&S systems. The DS200 is the electronic scanning voting machine, and the Express Vote is the disabled person's machine that can either be audio or with very large print.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's for the... Okay. Do you, and which third-party vendor do you use?
We use Printelect.
Printelect and New Bern, North Carolina?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We also contract with them to do the LNA, too.
And we're getting ready to cover that, too. So who calibrates the voting machines, and can you explain your process? Because every county does it different.
Mm-hmm. Well, we contract with LNA, with them to do the LNA. I can do it. I know how to do it. I've been trained to do it, but we prefer to mitigate our risk and hire a third party.
Right.
So they burn our...
So it's always the third party calibrating the machine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We send them our media sticks, and they program them and bring them with them. Mm-hmm. And they also print our ballots. Since they sold us the machines, they're really on... When we need extra... Like I thought I was going to need extra for the presidential... I called one afternoon. We had them the next morning.
Wow, that's good. Okay, do you invite party representatives to witness the calibration process?
Absolutely.
And do you send them the request in writing? Do you call them?
I think that they haven't always done that, but we've been doing that. We need that's we have to do that.
You call them, or you send it?
Typically email.
Okay.
Post it, email, and generally the parties are the ones that get immediate information on that.
Yeah, and the candidates are also.
And the candidates, correct, yes.
We don't have much room, but they rarely show up, but they're welcome.
Well, that was going to be my follow-up question. Are they participating in general?
In general, they're not, no. I wish they would. Because it's
That's for candidates and parties, or just the parties?
Both. I wish they would, because back when I was chair of one of the whole committee, there was a lot of distrust with what was going on over in this office. So I came over here.
You don't trust it, then show up.
Well, I came over, introduced myself, and got acquainted with going on, and I was invited to the canvasses and to the board meetings, all this stuff. And I went back and said, you guys are crazy. Everything's run over there just like it should be running.
It's a great learning process.
Looking like we're going to end up on the board.
Yeah.
Eight years.
We're going to keep you busy.
8 years.
Are your voting machines ever connected to the internet?
No.
If they're not connected to the internet, how and when are they updated? You said the flash drive, right?
Yes. And the firmware is updated. We have a maintenance agreement with them. They come usually in August and update the machines, the firmware and the software and the machines. At the same time, they check to make sure everything is working right.
And they're bringing it in manually.
So, and it's a manual upload.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. The next set of questions is going to be a lot about what we've already talked about with COVID. It's more specific. As an election professional, do you think that the changes made in the election process in Virginia in response to COVID have weakened election integrity overall? So we're talking about the totality of the changes, whether it's drop boxes, webcams on the drop boxes, webcams not on drop boxes, you know, all we're talking about the totality of all the changes. Has it weakened election integrity, strengthened election integrity, or made no change?
I think we don't really, I would want to only speak for this county.
Yeah, we're talking about, in general, what you've experienced. Do you feel like it's weakened, strengthened, made no change, don't know.
I don't think it's weakened. I think it just, I mean, I haven't done prior. Obviously, this is my first time.
Yeah.
But I think it was, from what I saw, it was just different.
So it made no change?
Right. It just was a different thing. But I didn't know any different because, like I said, the big election last year was my first.
That's a good way to explain it. It was different. It was not. It was, and we didn't make it any harder for anybody. Actually, it was easier because they could vote in person for 45 days, and they didn't have to have a photo ID. But COVID maybe scared some people away, but they had the option of absentee, and it didn't seem to.
Did y'all notice any changes in the percent of voter turnout because of COVID?
Not
any significant
really.
Changes?
I don't think that affect. No. We had a high turnout.
We had 79%, and that's the highest that I could find since 2008 in our records.
So what was the percentage?
79.
Okay.
So it didn't seem like it deterred people.
No.
Despite the changes.
But we did have 50% of them that didn't come on election day. And that is huge. And that's due to the change in the law last year that allowed that for anybody, as well as COVID.
Correct. Mm. Okay, did you receive any funding or in-kind contributions for training staff, voter education or equipment, or any other purposes from outside of the state of Virginia?
Yes.
Like grants or organizational grants?
We got CARES Act money of $51,000 from the state, and we got a grant for $9,500 from a foundation called Center for Technical and Civic Life.
Center for
Technology and Civic Life.
CTECL.
We just filled out the form. Mm-hmm. It was kind of strange.
And what did that grant cover? What was that for?
Well, it covered anything.
Oh, okay.
That was worth to the election. The county.
So staffing?
No, not staff.
What did you all use it for?
Okay, we used it for. I was laid
to
up
modernize our office because our desk was from the Titanic, and it was not.
And computers and printers.
It was horrible. Like it was hard to function with what we had.
Yeah, with people coming in, 3,000 people.
Yeah.
You gotta be up and going.
Our office was terrible back then. And this whiteboard is one of the things.
So filing cabinets, moving things around.
Tennille
got us on a roll to reshuffle this entire office.
Floor. Yeah.
I like the new floor.
New computers, and we were able to buy the cage. All the cages got funded by either CARES Act or by that money. Before the machines were not locked up in these secure red cages. You've seen those.
Okay, so you all were able to buy the locked.
Yes.
Yes.
In fact,
which for us was wonderful.
We got $51,000 from the CARES Act and $9,500 from the grant, plus our regular budget, which we couldn't have done it. We couldn't run the election without that extra money.
Yeah. We used the CARES money to also pay all the extra help that we needed to run the election.
Was very big on that.
Okay, so specifically back to the out-of-state money. That was used, you could use that for anything you wanted, and you used that to modernize the office, new floors, the locked cages purchased.
Yeah,
I want to make sure I want to differentiate from the state.
Computers.
Printer.
That money actually didn't go to the cages. It was CARES Act money.
Okay, I want to keep that separate.
CARES Act money was for the cages.
Okay. Did anyone receive any training in reference to that grant?
He wasn't for that.
So you just submitted the application for equipment, and they gave you $9,500.
No, actually, we just had to submit the application. It said nothing really.
It was a strange experience. In my past role, I've applied for a lot of grants and a lot of information you got to put down.
And they didn't.
All this asked for was our locality and our name and stuff and our financial, who to send the check to, and it said submit.
Budget. I think they asked for our budget overall.
And at that point, she was helping me, and we were waiting for something else to come back to fill something out. There's got to be more to this. That's all there was. And about 2 weeks later, we got the money.
That sounds like the
easiest grant you could imagine doing.
It really was.
Because we were sent all the PPE.
Yes, the PPE was from the state.
Yeah.
Well, we paid for a little of it, but
we paid for those plastic shields.
Yeah.
Yeah. That came out of CARES money.
Yep.
Okay. We at one point, it was so crazy. We someone was going on every day, all day, and into the night that, you know, it's hard to even know what. Mm-hmm. And we did what? And she was new, and she was asking me a whole lot of questions that I wasn't sure I even had the answer to. And like I said, LEC was changing the laws every day, or the legislative word, and LEC was trying to interpret what they had just passed, and the interpretation was not correct. We were trying to get that conflicted with the code.
Do you think it would be helpful if there was a law that was passed? This is just me thinking off the top of my head. That would say that within 35 or 30 to 60 days, whatever the time would be, before an election, regulations and laws could not be changed.
Absolutely.
Yes, it would. It needs to be pretty high because we have to start voting at 45 days.
Yeah. Right. Something that would prevent
voting,
changes.
After voting started, code guidance.
Right.
Changed.
They have books of forms, and the forms will be updated right at the last minute that go to each precinct. Sometimes it's even different signage. When we were preparing these cages, we're trying to get them done.
I'm sure the print cost was high.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you print a bunch of stuff, and then you got to throw it out.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah.
It's not even needed.
That would make me mad.
Yes. We're doing a lot of recycle now, though.
Yes.
I don't know how any Oil County could not have functioned without their board there full time. It was virtually full time for 2 months.
Wow. Yeah. That's
I know all
difficult.
Three of us were pretty much here.
And a lot
day,
of elected board
night,
members have other full time jobs.
Yeah. We're in the middle of the night.
We're
a lot
lucky
of time.
Ours don't.
Yeah.
But yes, I imagine.
So, effective July 1, 2021, Senate Bill 1097 eliminated requirements for voters to have a witness signature on absentee ballots for any election during a declared state of emergency. The governor has now rescinded the state of emergency. How are you training your staff to ensure there is a signature match for the upcoming elections or witness signature?
So we don't match signatures against our database. We look for a witness signature, and that's part of, I'm sure you've heard the term absentee curing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of our absentee curing, is that my staff and I will look for the signature of the witness this time, which was not required last fall. And if it's not there, then we will call the voter if we can, or email the voter if we can't call them, or write them a letter if we can't do either of those.
Yes, I've been part of that process. That's very difficult. Yeah. Do you feel that a lack of witness signature weakened the integrity of the election?
I do not.
I don't see how it would. In fact, I think it might be the other way around. I don't really know, but I'm just...
Well, it certainly ensured the safety. I did hear from some voters who were concerned because they live alone and they want to vote by mail and they didn't want anybody in their house to watch them
sign. That's what I mean. It just seemed like an extra burden on people like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, number 22. There's a lot of concern in Virginia and across the country about the security and integrity of the ballot drop boxes. And again, we're not here to debate the politics of it. We're just saying we know people have concerns for whatever reason. What are the chain of custody procedures, and we're talking about Appomattox, mm-hmm. for ballot drop boxes?
So prior to Election Day, we only have one drop box, which you can see when you leave, which is now hanging open. I decided that was the easiest way to not let anybody put anything in it, in my front office. So it's inside only. And the office obviously is staffed whenever the door is unlocked. So we keep an eye on it. We check it twice a day, and those get logged differently in our software when they come in versus through the mail.
So you didn't have any at the precincts the day of?
No, that's different. I was going to get to that. Okay. We're required by law to have them at the precincts.
Right.
And so we had locked boxes with a slit in them, and
they were observed at all times during the procedures.
At the end of the night, mm-hmm. or who brought those ballots back to
the chief? Brought those ballots back to us.
Mm-hmm.
We had very few turned in at the precincts.
The system.
They brought the whole box, or they took the
whole
ballots
box
out.
Mm-hmm.
The whole, because different counties do it different.
Yeah,
it's a small box, always in this county. So the
with the lock and tag.
This time it was actually a taped up box.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's really
so
taped.
Yes.
It's sealed.
It was sealed.
So if you'd have to cut the, you'd have
and they
to
brought the whole box back.
Yeah.
In a small box, so yeah. It, mm-hmm.
So there was no counting at the precinct.
Correct.
I'm asking specific questions because everybody did it different.
Mm-hmm.
Some localities, they opened the box, counted how many there were, put them back in the box, and then it was driven to the cap location.
Mm-hmm.
Some took the whole box.
Because I put the box together, I opened the box. Because I knew if anything.
You opened the box here?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So y'all were all together when you opened the boxes?
We were all in there together.
Offices.
Okay.
Yeah.
And yes.
Yeah, ran it through the machine.
We never do anything alone.
Yeah. No. She handed them to the cap. They went
to
the cap.
The cap officer handled. That's who's responsible for
through the machine after the election.
Mm-hmm. I think it worked well, our system.
Okay. But you didn't have any boxes at any other locations? Like some localities had them at libraries, rec centers, nothing like that. Okay. All right. Was there any time during the last election cycle when the drop boxes did not have video monitoring?
100%. Because
so
there's no video camera inside my office. Okay. Yeah.
And some do and some don't.
Mm-hmm.
And if they'd like to support it, then...
Yeah, if they want to pay for it, we'll put
them
in.
Where it's not outdoors and it's not accessible to the public,
yeah.
I didn't think it was particularly any risk.
I don't,
it's also, when you look at it, it's this big.
Yeah.
I bought the tiniest drop box I could tell from the measurements a ballot would fit in.
Right, right. So. Did you feel like you had clear guidance on how the drop boxes were supposed to be set up? Where, because some people felt like it was a little
That
muddy.
Would depend on the day and the hour.
Now, the one that I put together, there was clear guidance. It listed every single thing.
Finally, that was this year for the primary. Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
But no, not last year.
So I'm going to just write a note, not clear guidance, on November 2020.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, girls, for wanting to learn this and get into this. Mm-hmm. This is really great.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should move to Appomattox and we can hire you.
Well,
do you want to be living in Appomattox?
No.
No.
Okay, would you
I'm
provide...
looking for a job, though.
Would you provide training and support or designate other groups, such as groups like ours, nonpartisan groups, to provide training and support for an Election Day page program? Because, as you know, the state allows under the law for there to be pages through the high school. Is that something y'all are interested in, something y'all participated in?
We have not participated, to my knowledge.
No, and I'm not saying we're against it, but I'm not sure how much we would use them in this county.
Yeah. There's also a bit of threat associated with these elections now, with getting resolved to conceal and carry things and all that sort of stuff.
That'll be a whole other issue this year.
Yeah.
A threat in what way? I didn't know.
They're not going to be allowed to carry weapons into the precinct, concealed or otherwise.
The law has changed as of July 1st on that.
And we don't
So how would that affect the high school page program?
It would put a risk element out there that I think might give parents a hard time in letting children...
Right now, the only people going around to the precinct is the three of us.
Yeah.
And we're sworn, and we understand the risk, and we're willing to take the risk.
So you think that parents would be hesitant in letting their high schooler participate because there would be a physical threat?
Can you explain
possibly
what the participation would be? I'm a little...
It's a page program. It's like high school students would be...
Yeah.
And like so they would come in, and she would give them duties.
Okay.
It's like an internship. Of sorts.
So prior to Election Day?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
on Election Day. So some localities have multiple pages.
Mm-hmm.
And so the pages do a variety of things. The pages could act as staff and be trained to process ballots with a staff person.
Mm-hmm.
They could be trained to print signs. They could do a variety of internship type tasks.
Right.
What age group are you talking about?
High school is what that's what the law says. It's from section code, and you could look this up, 24.2604-3.
I'm aware of it, but I think that would be more, Patricia might need that, but she's had actually officers of election that have volunteered to help with that.
There's a risk associated with it that I'm not comfortable with.
So do you feel like there's a physical threat at the polling locations? Because this is This is kind of a new idea to me.
I feel ahead of time, it would be wonderful. This is my opinion. Mm-hmm. But on election day, I agree with them.
But that there's a danger? Yeah.
Well,
like
because
a physical
they changed the
danger?
Law of a 40-foot, you cannot have a firearm, even conceal and carry, within 40 feet.
We think that's going to aggravate some of the
because
people
because they're
of
saying, if I'm in my car, can I have it? It's created all these questions when they made it very clear, 40 feet, no one can have,
you know,
so
had,
they don't feel safe, in
you know,
other words.
We've had absolutely no guidance on how to enforce that, and we're not equipped to enforce it.
Right.
Officers of election are not trained to enforce
it. I see now, okay.
And the officers of election, some of ours used to carry, and they are not allowed to anymore.
We're
going to
have that
concerning
discussion
them.
With the sheriff at our board meeting on Tuesday. He's going to be there. We're going to get some guidance from him.
Right.
Okay, so in the past, precinct workers had concealed carries too,
yes.
So you're afraid you might even lose some precinct workers.
Right. Well, no, we know we will.
I carry, but I can't, nothing that day.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, they might pull out some of them.
But
in
terms
of the
whole series of risk elements that are coming up now that were not present future or previous years.
Yeah,
you guys really do think everything through here.
Yeah, we work at it. we got poor good brains on the problem always.
We lay awake at night thinking about this stuff. Trust me. I know I do. I know she does.
So the PAGE program is like an internship for high schoolers.
And if
in
I
hopes
wanted
of keeping
to get some help in the office, because I think that would actually be
you can't. In fact, when I'm giving you a copy of the questions.
Right.
There's a section code of Virginia that has the information that says what they can do and how.
But who would you contact? Do you know that?
The high school.
Oh, okay.
You just go to the high school and ask them if you can recruit. You probably want.
If they'll let you in.
Senior. I think they would. I mean, some localities use them.
But they're back right now into going through the mask thing all over again, and we were very.
Right. But you could still get. Help you mm-hmm. get these high schoolers as interns, and it may actually be very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
They would see a big picture here because we all cross the lines of our jobs.
That's
yeah.
In a good way.
Yeah.
Like loading cages and stuff is
right.
Not the secretary's thing, but I'm good at that. So they'd see a big, like the full picture of everything we do at this office, particularly because we
right.
do work so hand in hand and
well
together.
And what it's the hope is, the reason why the law came about was to get students involved so that they may decide to stay involved when
mm-hmm.
they become voters.
Well, it's
yes.
a good idea. We're not,
yeah.
not saying that. I'm just wondering how it would we could effectively use them without wasting their time.
I think just asking other registrars
mm-hmm.
how they utilize pages
right.
would give you ideas, and then you guys sit down
mm-hmm.
and talk about how to do that.
Oh, I can put any intelligent person to work.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah. And you could
that.
Probably screen them. You could ask students to submit a resume or submit
uh-huh.
an essay on why they would want to participate.
She's the one that would be able to do need the most.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
Appomattox Christian Academy has high school, so
mm-hmm.
you could ask the is there another private school here?
There's, yeah, there is.
But I would reach out to the high school and the public school
mm-hmm.
and the private school,
right.
or even homeschoolers.
And how often are they wanting them, like per week, too?
I think it just depends. It doesn't say in the law. It just says
mm-hmm.
that you can have a PAGE program.
Right.
So I think it's up to you and the student and their parent and the
mm-hmm.
school how many hours a week.
I think there would be something limitation as far as working with voters, though.
Probably.
Well, the law says.
Right. There's a lot
yeah,
of work,
obviously we
got to
learn
work
about
coming
it.
Up.
It says that they take an oath
yeah.
and sign an oath. They
mm-hmm.
serve under the direct supervision of the chief officer of election if they're at the polling place
right.
that day.
Mm-hmm.
And observe strict impartiality at all times. It says
mm-hmm.
pages may observe the electoral process and seek information from the chief officer and may assist in the arrangement of the voting equipment,
mm-hmm.
furniture, and other materials to conduct the election, but shall not enter a voting booth. Same for your election people.
Mm-hmm.
Any pages may, under the direction or under the supervision of the chief officer, assist in the counting of the unmarked ballots, but not handle or touch them. So they're sounds like they're sort of like an observer, but a little more hands-on. It's up to you all.
Right? One last question about that. If they helped that day, what if they were like shadowing us instead of being at the actual election?
I think you could do that.
Sites.
I think it's whatever.
That would be helpful.
It sounds like it's whatever you design it to be.
Because
mm-hmm.
I think Henrico said they've been doing one for years and
19
it sounds
years.
Like
wow.
their pages actually come into the office and help
that day. Because we go to the precincts constantly and we can show them what we're looking
on
for.
On the day,
yeah.
we all.
It's a very solid organization up there also, and it's a very large.
Yeah. And the three of us constantly communicate during the day.
Yeah.
Well, I see something wrong.
I think even leading up to Election Day, that's where the biggest administrative help would probably be needed.
Yes.
I think you could use them putting those books back together again.
Mm-hmm.
That's
true.
All the hours you and your sister worked on.
Yeah.
You know, attend the same trainings as everyone else. I think it could be a positive experience.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And that's how you recruit people, too.
It is.
Yes. They turn 18, you hand the application here, don't you want to work?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, question 26. Would you authorize nonpartisan election observers with the same rights as party representatives as described in the Section Code of Virginia 24.2, presence of additional persons? So the registrar is allowed to authorize, with your permission, of course, additional observers from other groups. So in some localities, there may be foreigners who come, exchange students who are learning about the election, so college exchange students, foreign college professors, nonpartisan groups coming in to observe.
We've had that in the past. We've answered positive to it, but nobody's ever showed up.
So I don't feel it's proper in this case.
So
well, remember.
So we've got a yes and a no.
No, it was two yeses and one no.
Okay.
We also have space limitations, and so we had some concerns with a proposed law that didn't happen last year, where you must have an observer anytime you're dealing with absentee ballots, and we're like, no way, we can't fit somebody in here looking over our shoulder.
Yeah, in fact, that's one of the questions, so we'll get to that in just a second, so hold that thought.
Okay.
So would you authorize international nonpartisan observers from recognized election monitoring organizations?
Not on our behalf.
Have your local party chairs been notified that they are entitled to send observers to your office each day it is open and receiving in-person absentee ballots? Have you notified them of that?
I have not.
What was the question?
We expected them.
Have you notified local chairs that they are entitled to send observers to your office each day it is open and receiving absentee ballots? Not every day it's open, but once absentee ballots start coming in, the law says that they're entitled to have observers.
Right.
The question is,
tell us. That's what's happening.
Have you notified them of that?
I don't believe that form.
I have.
You have? Okay, because I have not. We did discuss it with one of the party chairs last fall.
I know Casey, the Christian knows that.
He knows that everybody can come in. I don't think he knew that as soon as the absentee starts.
Yeah. Do you have concerns about having additional people here when the absentee voting season starts?
Yes, and it's mostly to do with space.
Mm-hmm. In this office, I could see that.
Because I'll show you the third office, but basically we work out of that front room and two offices, and that's where myself and two part-time assistants normally are the only people doing it. It's not a lot of room.
Okay. And when you start having early voting in here too.
Yeah. I can see where there would be space limitations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely going to be difficult trying to have adherence to the law and having the observers not be denied, but also worried about space.
Yeah.
I mean, those are both legitimate.
Well, it's also not terribly
concerns.
Practical for Appomattox, because even with we got about, I want to say it was 600 by mail ballots back last November. They're coming in sporadically. So, you know, we might open 5 one day at lunchtime, and then there's nothing else the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm. I know some localities, because of the observer issue, held them all until they got, every time they had groups of 250, they would set a date with the chairman to send an observer.
I don't know how you can do that and comply with the law of procuring.
You can't. Procuring.
Well, that's what Prince Edward, they said it, we're going to do, because you have to do it every 3 days. So
Yeah, but if you can't notify a voter except by mail, that's
but we
really
were,
hard.
We had people there all the time. So the registrar notified that you could have observers. These were the days we were doing it. And so it was up to the chair to send the observers in on those days, obviously. But they did them in groups instead of every day. Because if not, you have to have the the opportunity for an observer to be there every day.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've raised 5 kids. I'm not in favor of a lot of them.
They have typically been notified of all the stuff's going on, and they don't attend LNA, they don't attend board meeting, they don't attend Canvas.
You know, somebody did attend LNA last fall.
Yeah, not as a rule,
yeah.
though.
Yeah.
Right. But you're notifying them or talking to them about it. So mm-hmm. whether they do it or not is on them.
Right.
Yeah. You're only obligated to follow the law and allowing them to be here if they bring the right paperwork.
Yeah. And there's plenty of publication that comes out of
correct.
Washington and Richmond as to who yeah. goes when and
but
where.
Again, they have to know when you're doing it, or else they're right. going to be here every day for 45 days.
Well, they know. It's, in this
they,
county,
they
it's pretty easy.
Through yeah. the party, a lot of that stuff.
Do you have a publication that you provide to your election officials regarding the rights and responsibilities of observers?
I believe yeah. we do as part of the Election
it's
Day
in the
Guide.
Election Day Guide.
Yeah, so it comes from the state.
Okay. Most localities are using the State Board of Elections.
Right.
But yeah. some have their own.
Yes. No, we haven't written our own for that.
Okay. If no, would you be willing to distribute a publication that was prepared by a third-party group?
After we review that, I wouldn't.
It would depend on the group.
Yeah.
Whether
it matters. Oh, it depends on what it says. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. It'd sure. have to meet code.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we don't have any more questions unless my students here have questions.
I have a few questions for you.
Great.
Are you familiar with what ballots look like?
They're not. I am.
Okay. Well, this is, I can't let you have this one because it's my only sample I kicked around. But this is the sample ballot. It's not a full ballot, so it could not be put through a machine. Those marks around the outside are timing marks that are read by the electronics of the machine. And the ballot order is determined by the State Board of Elections. There's very strict guidelines, as I'm learning now, for local candidates of how they have to be laid out. They're normally two-sided, and it would have a seal on the back, but we don't put that on. We don't do a second side on the sample ballots. And the sample ballots are put up on the county website. The party chairs often put them on their own websites or Facebook pages or something. And so we try to make the information accessible, and we put them out in my front office, and people can come by and pick them up and bring them home and show their family, this is what we're going to vote for next week or whatever.
And the actual ballot, this would be, if you try to put this in a machine, it would be kicked back for several reasons. But the first reason, it doesn't have our seal on the back. Mm-hmm. You can't switch counties or precincts. If it's, we get one from somebody's, is trying to put a Prince Edward, well, the machine will kick back because it's got the wrong seal on it.
Mm-hmm. Another thing, when people are lined up before they come in to vote,
and that's a felony, class 1 yeah. felony.
These two amendments always take them, it catches them off guard.
I know.
Always,
so we
always.
Try to, when the lines are long, go ahead and give them the sample ballot. Otherwise, they just come in and they're there, and some people will just pick whatever because they don't know.
Yeah.
So they're always familiar pretty much with this. So this is something we could all work on to get that out ahead of time
yeah.
for them to consider that.
It's in the so paper,
maybe
but
put it in the, yeah, newspaper.
Yeah, it's in the newspaper. Most people do not get the newspaper. And if you
they do put it in the newspaper?
And if you do read
some,
it.
Some groups some, or localities some, do.
Yeah. Okay.
In reading it, you can get confused with it. And some of them, I think, are purposely designed that way.
Yeah.
They're written to fail.
Yeah. But I've experienced that before.
Because if you don't understand, if you read it and don't understand
it.
You
don't have time to read it and comprehend
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Have you worked as a poll worker?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Many times.
Human nature says, good. You read something like that and you don't understand it and you got to vote, you're going to vote no, just to be safe.
Yeah.
But if we can get it to them while they're in line, it does help them to not
yeah. be. It speeds the line up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Olivia, did you work as, because you're just voting for the first time, mm-hmm. are you allowed to work as an officer of election if you are not old enough to
She's
vote?
She's not 18 yet.
Okay.
I've never been an officer of the election. I've only worked outside.
Oh, okay. So outside the polls, helping the voters understand mm-hmm. that's great.
Yeah.
yeah.
That's great. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get you to be an officer of election somewhere over with Lynette.
Lynette would appreciate that.
She would.
Have you actually seen a voting machine? You know how they work?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We can show you how it works.
All right. And I was surprised you didn't ask about poll books.
We still use paper poll books here.
Yeah.
One of the
a lot
few
of
localities.
Rural localities do.
That do. So have you had a chance to see electronic poll books and see paper poll books? Do you know what they look like?
They have not seen a paper poll book.
Do you know the process? Do you want me to show
sure,
you?
Sure, they love it. Can I stop the recorder?
Absolutely.
Okay, so our interview's done, so we're going to stop the recording, but we're going to continue to do fun stuff.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bye.